last week, I was eating lunch in a local restaurant when I overheard a lady at the next table say, "I'm going to buy me a gun because I need to protect myself. I'm alone and I'm afraid." You know, it's quite common to hear on the news someone being assaulted or experiencing a home invasion or someone being shot. A lot of news articles about guns and gun control and even policemen are fearful and often have to use force. There are things that happen in this day that causes people to fear. But this isn't something new, is it? Don't be afraid. That's the words we hear in our scripture reading this morning, and it's repeated a number of times on that very first Easter day. Don't be afraid. The angel said that to the women that they were in the tomb. Don't be afraid. Jesus said that to the women when they were hurrying back to the disciples and they met Jesus on their way back. Don't be afraid. Disciples are afraid, and this is heightened when later in the day Jesus suddenly appears to them in front of them. Immediately Jesus says to them and tries to calm them down by saying, "Peace be with you." Now, in today's language, how would Jesus say that? I think he would say it something like this. "Listen, you guys, it's okay. Catch your breath. There's nothing to worry about." Are you worried about anything today? When was the last time someone said to you, "Shh, it's all right"? Maybe when you were a child and you were really afraid of something and you heard a parent or a grandparent, they held you close and said, "Shh, it's all right." They stroked your hair. Maybe they wiped away a tear. They hugged you and had their arms around you and embraced you. And you heard them say, now, there's nothing to be afraid of." Certainly, that would fix any fear that you might have. You believe it, and so you feel it, and you experience it. You feel safe. You calm down and you enjoy the moment that that person is holding you and saying, "It's going to be all right." But that was a long time ago for some of us, maybe for most of us. We've grown up since then, and as adults, things become a lot more complex, and words of assurance don't seem to fix the problem as easily. It's harder for us to trust that. And it's harder for us to believe that. We've become creatures of reason and explanation. "You prove it to me. You help me understand it so that I don't have to have any doubt about it." But when there's no explanation and we're looking for answers, it's hard for us to be comforted with simple words like, "Don't be afraid." We want more than that. We want to be proved. We want an explanation that takes it away. You see, life constantly gives us plenty of reasons to be afraid. We know how the world works, so we are very suspicious, even when we're told not to be afraid. Like when we hear the pilot on the airplane say, "Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing an unusual amount of turbulence on our flight today, but you can be assured there's no reason for concern." Now, our response might be, well, you know, I did notice that there's some turbulence, and I wasn't worried then, but now, since you're telling me not to worry, all of a sudden I'm thinking about it, and maybe there's a reason for me to be concerned. I wonder why the pilot felt the need to tell me that it's going to be okay. And then that bit of, you know, fear creeps into our mind. There's so many times when fear grips us and grips our lives, and when it does, it catches us unprepared. It might be as simple as this, as hearing that someone our age, who maybe is healthier than we are, is suddenly diagnosed with an illness that will shorten his or her life. And we can't help but ask that fear-filled question, well, that could be me. What would I do if I am faced with a question of death that will come sudden for me like that? I remember so clearly when that happened to me when I was in seminary. I was in training working with Downer Grove Hospital in Chicago and outside of Chicago. And as I went into the room, there was this young man that had been brought into the emergency room, and he was in the room. He was my age at that time, around 30 years old. And he had had an accident. And the doctors were standing around the bed, and they had called me to the room to respond as a chaplain. And they said, there's nothing more we can do. He's not going to make it through the night. And I saw myself laying there in that bed. I saw, if that happened to him, that could easily happen to me. What would prevent me from on my way home from the hospital tonight with that happening to me? And I was afraid. As a pastor, I've spent a lot of time with those who are ill and dying and with their families, and as much as I would like to say with my own authority and words of assurance and comfort, don't be afraid, don't worry, all of this will go away. But I can't do that, and I can't say that, not on my own. I can't say, I promise everything's going to be okay, because there's always, always that element of uncertainty. However, on this Easter Sunday morning, as we are celebrating what God did in Jesus Christ, when an angel speaks with authority of God, or when Jesus himself says, don't be afraid, that's another thing. When these words are spoken, they don't mean that everything's going to turn out perfect for us, that nothing can go wrong. You know, a lot of people come and they give their life to Christ and they want to be a follower and they want to be a Christian, they want to be a disciple, and all of a sudden they began to run into all kind of fearful things in the world, and they began to say, well, God, where are you? If you were here and if I've given my life to you as a Christian, everything ought to be good. Everything ought to be fine. I shouldn't be struggling. I shouldn't be having problems. But that is not what happens. Things do go wrong. We know while we're on earth, things will happen that will frighten us and challenge us and challenge our confidence. We know that even though Jesus called his disciples and he told them with these words, don't be afraid, even so, what did that mean? Did that mean you're not going to have to face any persecution? You're not going to have to face any problems? You're not going to have any illnesses? You're not going to have any things happen to you? They still face terrible suffering and persecution, and they were all put to death. However, Jesus' words of comfort did make a difference. It did have a place. It did have a purpose. It changed the way the disciples faced life. When they faced illness, when they faced persecution, when they faced difficulty, and Jesus said, it's going to be all right, that's exactly what was going to happen. it in the end was going to be okay. And when the disciples accepted that and accepted those simple words, don't be afraid, or when they heard Jesus say, peace be with you, and they accepted that and they believed that, it empowered them, knowing that God was always with them. While they were in their periods of persecution and suffering, God was there with them, walking with them during that time, reassuring them. The powerful, risen Jesus had their hand. He had their back. And they really made a difference how they were going to face those things that were terrifying to them and that saddened them. These words came from the one and only person who has the authority to give that kind of assurance. There is only one person who can offer strength and comfort and security and hope and confidence and all the uncertainties and troubles that we have in this world, even in the face of the greatest fear of all, when we are hearing the news that you are going to die. Yes, we all know we're going to die, but when we see death come upon us, all of a sudden there's this great overwhelming fear. But Jesus says, peace be with you. I am with you. It's going to be okay. Jesus is going to be there to walk with us through that experience of death. And death does not mean the end. It means the door that is open from this life into eternal life. If we as Christians offer words of strength and comfort and assurance to another person, we must offer them a message from the source that is greater than ourselves. If I, as a pastor, offer words of comfort or assurance to you, and I tell you it's going to be all right, it will mean nothing. But if I say to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, who has the power to oversee you and to be with you in those times, and I speak those words, then I have the authority, not on myself, but on the authority of the one who has the power to deliver you, to heal you, to reassure you. If we say those words to people who are fearful, don't be afraid. It's because Jesus has them in his embrace. And he is holding them close to his heart in their time of trouble. It is the risen Christ who says, I will be with you always to the end of the age. It is Jesus who says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Jesus said, don't be afraid. I am the first and I am the last. I am the living one. I was dead, but now I'm alive forever and ever. I have authority over death. I have you in my hand. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Trust me. And Jesus is saying, I know you. I know everything about you. I know what's happening in your heart and your life right now. And I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to walk with you. And I'm going to help you. And I'm going to strengthen you. And I'm going to be able to help you to endure it. Because I am the risen Lord, and I have the authority and the power to do so. And it's with this kind of confidence that Paul was able to say in the face of all that adversity that he was facing, when he faced trouble and the trials and the beatings and the threat of death, he said, I can do everything through him who gives me the strength. In another place, he lists all the things that would frighten him if he was beaten or shipwrecked or if he was facing the cross or if he was being tormented or persecuted or pursued. He said, even if I'm facing the evil of death itself, he states boldly, there is nothing, however, that can harm me, that can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when it comes to our sin and our guilt that is always pursuing us, Jesus also says, don't be afraid of that. Rest in me. I've had the power to conquer sin and death. Don't let it overwhelm you. Even when guilt is overpowering us and death scares us, Jesus says, I will never leave you. I will never forget what you are facing. I have written your name, it says in Isaiah, on the palms of my hand. I have you in my good care. Don't be afraid. You know, if I was to stand up here this morning and I was to say to you, don't be afraid, it would be absolute nonsense without wisdom in what Jesus Christ has done. If Christ had not risen from the dead, and if he were not living now as our Lord and Savior, what I would say, that statement is nothing but useless words spoken in the wind. But Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus is glorified. And since his resurrection and his ascension, he is now powerfully present with us whenever and wherever we might be and whatever might be happening in our lives. There's a prayer by an Irish priest who says, Christ is in us, and Christ is behind us, and Christ is before us, and Christ is beneath us, and Christ is above us, and Christ is everywhere. He is our guide and our shield, and he will save us from all evil. He is right beside you when you feel vulnerable and when you're afraid. He is with us when we are depressed. He is with us when we are sick. Christ is on our right and he is on our left. He is when we lie down and when we stand up. He is with us in the people who care for us and who love us and who come to us as angels at times, and we do not even recognize that we are being entertained by angels. Christ is in the heart of whoever and whoever reaches out into our lives to say that you are loved and not to be afraid. Easter tells us that Jesus is alive and present and affects us profoundly. It changes the way that we live life. And maybe I should ask us that this morning as I come to a close. Do you live your life different because you know Jesus Christ is beside you and above you and below you and inside you when you stand up, when you sit down? Do you live your life different because you know the risen Christ is with you? Does it affect the way you view sin and sickness and death? Does it help you to cope with things that life throws at you, knowing that you're not standing alone, that Christ is with you and before you and behind you and beneath you and above you? There are times in our lives when we don't feel Christ close to us. As a pastor, how often do I talk to people who says, you know, I just can't quite understand. I just don't feel close to God. I just don't feel that I understand what it means to have Christ living in me. But Christ is always there, whether we understand the closeness or not. There's nothing that can happen in a day when Christ will not be there, when he will not be beneath you and above you, beside you, within you. Christ is always there. And on Easter Sunday, we try to highlight that understanding. The reason Christ is with us is because on that first Easter, he was raised from death. He overcame death. And so Jesus comes to you and he comes to me and he says, don't be afraid. The lady that I heard in the restaurant last week say she was going to buy a gun, I looked up to look at her face to see what fear she might have. But also, I was struggling to understand, if you had a gun, would you no longer feel fear? Would you no longer be afraid? Would you somehow be in control so that nothing would happen to you and that you would be protected? Christ is the eye that sees your every need and watches over you, and he is the ear that hears every groan and every sign and every prayer that you lift up. Christ gives you strength when you're in trouble, when you face sickness, when death scares the daylights out of you, whenever you lie down on your bed at home or in a hospital, or even when you are standing in front of your own grave, the powerful living presence of Christ will never leave you. And that, brothers and sisters, is the joy of Easter. And that's the celebration that we have today. Jesus Christ is risen today, and he is really present in everything. Whether you know it or not, whether you feel it or not, whether you experience it or not, Christ is sitting beside you this morning, probably looking into your face and saying, do you hear my words? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you know how much I love you? Do you know what I did on that first Easter? And it didn't happen just then. It happens today too. I love you. I died for you. I am raised for you. I am here with you. Would you come to me and hear my word? Don't be afraid. Put your trust in me. Receive what I want you to have. And have the happiness that Easter is to bring. You have conquered all because I have conquered all. It's not my word. It's the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Brothers and sisters, as we have come together this morning in this Easter Sunday celebration, Jesus comes before us and says, don't be afraid. I have overcome death. I have overcome sin. And I have come here to give you new life. I'm just praying that God, that each one of us, as we have heard your message this morning, as we have heard your word of truth, that we will receive your grace and that we will be empowered again this day to celebrate on this Easter Sunday what you want us to have. Christ is risen. Thank you, Lord. We will receive that. We thank you as we pray this in Jesus' name.